are day 5. This is summit day. This is the bananas type day. All of our training and all of our preparation led to this moment. And Greg had told me the night before, are you ready for the longest day of your life? And I said no, and tried to go to sleep. I haven't slept a ton up to this point. The day before, I maybe had about 2 hours of sleep, having to get out of the tent, go to the bathroom, come back in. It's freezing cold. The hassle of moving, the pain of my stomach, unable to really put food down at this point. And so in the mess tent, before we start the ascent, woke up at 11, had breakfast at 11:30. It was like a bowl of porridge is what I was able to hold down. Took an Imodium tablet to hopefully stop up the stomach and drink a bunch of water, and it was ready to go. And I'm thinking this is going to be like day 5 again. You know, I've got someone personally carrying my pack. I'm in the back, whatever pace. And in front of everybody within our group, they bring me right to the front, right behind the guide and the one who's setting the pace. And the pace is incredibly, incredibly slow. So to get to the summit is just 6 kilometers. And so roughly, you know, around 4 miles, a little under 4 miles, not very far at all. But we climb from Kibo Hut, which is about 4,700 meters, all the way up to Uhuru Peak, which is about 5,900 meters, which sits around 19,000 feet, right? So a little over 19,000. It's a super high altitude. You go in the middle of the night so that by the time you're coming down, it's not overly hot. If there was snow up there, on this circumstance, there wasn't snow up there. Everything would be nice and crunchy so you don't hurt yourself on the way down. It takes about 6 to 8 hours. It took us 6 hours just to get up to what's called Gilman's Point, and it's just this incredible ascent, and it's zigzagging, you know, switchbacks all the way up. And so I'm starting this thing, and honestly, it was like, will I finish? Will I summit? Wasn't even on my radar. Or should I quit? Or should I just keel over and fall to the side? Certainly in our breaks, I just went to the ground and rested the most that I possibly could. But that didn't cross my head. Because in my head was, if I'm done, my guide will tell me that I'm done. But if he doesn't tell me, then that's communicating to me to continue moving forward, to continue going on. So we're in the dead of night. It's freezing cold. We have all of our gear on us. I have a headlamp. And rather than looking at the stars, rather than looking at other people, I'm looking down at the feet of Faustine, who is the lead guide at the time. Now he's carrying 2 liters of my water for me so that my pack will be as light as possible. I just had the bladder in there and was forced to just sip that thing constantly. Otherwise, the water would freeze within the bladder that I had on my back. And the Nalgene bottles that they were carrying were stuffed in wool socks and upside down. So that should give you a little bit of an idea of how cold it was. And we continued to move up, no one talking. There was encouragement throughout the entire process. People saying, you can do this. It's very Team World Vision culture. You got this. You're going to be fine. You're going to finish this thing. We believe in you. We believe in one another. Let's finish together type thing. No one's saying a word as we continue to just move across this stone scree, which is in the glacial zone of Mount Kilimanjaro, the final zone, eco zone. On the mountain, and we just continue to move forward. No one's looking at the watches, and they're probably frozen anyways, and we just put one, you know, foot in front of the other. And as I reflect back upon it, I said this in the last episode, but I'm thinking a lot about the way in which I follow Jesus. You know, when I'm following Jesus, like, usually I'm like, there's a breaking point, right? Like, what happens when I'm just done or just tired? Or what happens when I'm in a really difficult or really hard season, and And I start to get so in my head about following Jesus or living Christianly within my day, whatever that might look like, that I forget the simple grace of not having to worry about it. And scripture says, like, cast all of your cares and your anxieties upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He said, yoke yourself to me, follow after me, right? I'm going to lead you, and I am the good shepherd, even though it might not feel like it. So I've continued to ask for the Lord to foster that kind of faith in me. And Nouwen, which I probably quoted a lot because I'm reading his book called The Wounded Healer, which is a great read. He said this. He said, prayer requires that we stand in God's presence. Again, Emmanuel, God with us. That we stand in God's presence, but we do so with open hands. Open hands. Naked. Vulnerable. And we proclaim to ourselves and we proclaim to others that without God, we can do nothing. As disciples, we find not some, but all of our strength, all of our hope, all of our courage, all of our confidence in God. Therefore, prayer must go our first concern, our primary concern. You know, there is no way in the world that the 43 of us that went out to climb this mountain would be able to do it without our guide. There is no way we could navigate the crazy terrain of Kilimanjaro, a world that is not our own, a land that is not our own, the rules of which we don't even understand. So I started thinking about that. How do we go about navigating our world, our life, which is clearly not our own, without a guide? And when things get really, really tough, without the comforter and the reassurer. So I was thinking about that a lot now. Certainly while climbing, I don't even know. I probably was thinking about stuff and I've already forgotten it was that hard. But once you get up to Gilman's Peak, Gilman's Point, you only climb not even 1,000 feet. I mean, very, very little amount of feet. It's almost like you're just going straight out, slowly climbing. You see on the horizon the glaciers, and so it's just kind of a wild, so you're above the clouds, so you're looking down, you can see the clouds, you can see Kibo and the distance that you've come, and you're like, how did I come this far? This is amazing. And then we reach Stella Point and we dump all of our gear, just everything, for this last push to Uhuru Peak, which is freedom. Uhuru means freedom. And we get there, and there we are, and they're like, you have your camera, that's the only thing we're carrying on us. And the Steve Cummings took a picture of me, I took a picture of him, and then the guide says, now you go down, immediately get down the mountain, immediately. Oxygen's not the level, but this kind of altitude does crazy things to your body. So we start going down, and maybe 500 feet, I see Greg and KT, and they're coming up, and they've grinded it out. I mean, they've like just have similar journey to me, but just kind of like a different story. And as we're coming, I'm just overwhelmed with emotion. Here's one of my close friends who believed in me, who made it happen for me to be here, and he's there guiding, a co-elder of our community, and they're sharing that kind of moment as they're getting up to the summit. And I lose it. I start weeping. I start crying. Give him a hug. He kisses me on the cheek. And he asked me this question. He said, will you come and take a picture with me? And people struggle with regret on the mountain. I mean, there's a number of people that are like, oh, I didn't get there in the time they wanted, or I didn't get there at all. I had to turn back down because of the altitude or whatever. And so regret is a thing. And so for me, I was talking to Greg, and I was like, man, I just regret not taking that picture with you. And he said, you were trusting in your guide and following the leadership of your guide. And it was such a principle, it's just saying, you know, the picture would have been an artifact or a monument, but the wisdom of the guide ultimately ruled out. And so as much as it was hard to follow on the way up, the difficulty, it was hard to follow on the way down. not staying too long at the summit, not staying too long and making it something that was even about me. And so then we come down. This is kind of fun, and I'm going long, but I'm just trying to describe it just for you kiddos here. But when you go down the mountain, you go up, and it takes forever. You come down, it takes like 2 hours, hour and a half. The ground is like dirt, you know, soft. And so you almost run down the mountain. It's kind of like, you know, bunny hills, like skiing, you know, kind of thing. And so you're just moving quickly down the mountain, but the amount of dust that comes up is unbelievable. So I got a whole bunch of dust in my throat, and it caused my throat to swell for a couple days after the mountain. Couldn't breathe, hacking up stuff. Just now recovered from it, which is great, which, you know, family, you know, because I've communicated this stuff to you. But when I get back down to Kibo in a couple hours, crash in the tent for 2 hours, and then we start a 20-kilometer hike. It takes 8 to 9 hours. That's actually, I don't know, this says descent. Included in that is from the descent from Uhuru Peak. So this particular hike, 20 kilometers, man, it takes about, I'm trying to even think. It was like 5 or 6 hours, maybe. A long time. So I started it the night, and it ended in the night. I had my headlamp on, cruised around camp around 7 o'clock, tried to get some food in me, and then passed out. And I had the better sleep than I've had in a long time. So you are at 5,800 feet, about 5,900 meters, which is like 19,000 feet. And we climbed all the way down 2,000 meters to 3,700 meters. And so the descent is fast. It's furious, but your body absolutely needs it and loves it. So I want to close out with the last one, and for Audrey, and that was her being represented on the mountain. And she was represented as rock, as a stone. It is the most dominant feature, to be sure, or prominent, maybe. Dominant is a word, but on the mountain is, you can see certainly Kilimanjaro, and you can see Mawinzi, which is this really jagged, almost like when we were in Stanley, Idaho, and the Sawtooth Mountains, very similar. But it's these majestic monuments of God's creation and creativity. And the thing about the rock is they've been there, and they're visibly seen, and they're markers for to keep going, and they're markers for you know, every single person who climbs the mountain. And so I was just impressed upon the beauty of the mountain, for sure. Every element of my daughter's beautiful, and Audrey, you're incredibly beautiful, and you're incredibly strong. Not only for yourself, but for others. And people look to you, and they follow you. I do. I don't mean to put the burden of leadership on you, so forgive me. You shouldn't have to carry the weight of that always, but your character is seen. The quality of your strength is visible for all to see. And so I love you, and I'm thankful to call you daughter and friend. And I'm really, really stoked to push you in the pool in Las Vegas. Grace and peace. Bye.
From Grandpa Kaiser. So grateful for his spiritual direction in my life, spiritual parenting. And so I gladly receive this in the power of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer today. We are assured by your word that you answer our prayers if we pray in faith. So we humbly bring our requests to you. This day is of an importance event in which we need your divine help to accomplish it. from the start to the finish. Lord, help your servant David as he begins this missionary climb up Mount Kilimanjaro. Richly bless the reason for this walk. Precious Lord, please give David extra strength and endurance for this wonderful endeavor. Jesus, we're also asking that you will wonderfully keep your hands on David's family while he is gone. May all go perfectly well at home. Bless with protection, because this is your work and dedicated to you. May no harm come to your servant and his family. All of this we place in your hands for divine accomplishment. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love to us. And this we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.